The U.S. Navy has chosen Wisconsin's Fincantieri Marinette Marine as the site to build a new fleet of warships. The deal would build the first 10 of those ships and is expected to create around 5,000 direct and indirect jobs in the area. Representative Mike Gallagher is a Republican representing Wisconsin's 8th Congressional District, which includes Green Bay and Marinette. Representative Gallagher, welcome back to Central Time.
Thanks for having me.
Can you tell us more about this deal and how Marinette was chosen to build these ships?
Well, winning the frigate competition was not just an economic win for Northeast Wisconsin or for Wisconsin in general, but really it's a win for all of American military power, for the free world, and a bad day for our enemies, because this ship that we're going to be building in Northeast Wisconsin will really serve as the foundation for the future fleet, which will be dominated by smaller, more adaptable surface combatants like the frigate that will have that mission of doing deterrence, keeping the peace, particularly in the first island chain in the Indo-Pacific region. And so while this initial award is for 10 ships, with a follow-on award of the next 10 up for a recompete, I think we're going to need to see a lot more like above 20, probably north of 60 or 70 if you talk to naval experts that study this stuff for a living. And so really a testament to the hard workers at the shipyard in Marinette, and a really exciting day for Wisconsin.
Can you talk about the economic impact of this for Marinette and the surrounding area?
Well, in the immediate, the contract's going to be worth more than $5 billion and by some accounts create more than 5,000 jobs, both direct jobs at the shipyard and then indirect jobs. Think of all the subcomponent suppliers that build parts of the ship. Think of just the local retail businesses or food businesses that will benefit from an increased traffic in the shipyard. And so that's a huge win, but also just the long-term stability for the shipyard. The fact is that the littoral combat ship that we were building there prior was on its way out. And so this ship basically guarantees two decades of life at the shipyard. And that's two decades of Wisconsinites working hard to build the absolute best and most advanced ship in the U.S. Navy arsenal. That is something we should all be proud of.
What was the competition like around the country to win this contract?
Well, it was very stiff competition. We had, four other competitors. It got down to three real serious competitors at the end. And, you know, I think part of the reason why Wisconsin won, beyond the fact that we had the best ship design and we have the best workers, is I do think there's a national security imperative to keeping all of our shipyards alive right now. The fact is, with the decline of commercial shipbuilding in the last five decades, we've seen a contraction in the overall number of shipyards. We're currently at 7 shipyards, and it's really important from a health of the defense industrial base perspective to make sure that we have not only a few shipyards concentrated on the East Coast, but strong shipyards right here in the industrial Midwest. And so that's just an added benefit to us winning the competition, but it was very fierce. Right now, we're sort of waiting to see if one of the companies that lost it contests the bid, but I have confidence that we will prevail, even if there is a what's called a protest of the bid. And at the end of the day, it was hard work and the best design out there that allowed us to win.
We have had concerns from some listeners on social media about the priority of military spending in the first place, saying, hey, we've got, you know, for example, the coronavirus pandemic absorbing a lot of money from the U.S. budget. What would you say to them about the priority for this project?
Well, I do think that the enormous amount of money we're having to spend on combating coronavirus will exert a downward pressure on the defense budget in the next few years. But that's all the more reason why we need to be building ships like this. This is a smaller ship. It costs half of what a destroyer costs. It can go places that destroyers can't go. And so a ship like this that's flexible gets us more defense at less cost. So I actually think if you are concerned about the growth of the defense budget or concerned about retaining a strong defense in a fiscally constrained environment, a frigate like this is the best option. Combine that with two things, autonomous ships being one, and INF non-compliant missiles, that's intermediate range missiles, which we weren't allowed to develop before. And I think we can actually achieve what we want to achieve vis-a-vis the Chinese Communist Party and the PLA Navy without having to bankrupt ourselves any further. And the final thing I'd say is, as we all know, it's not defense that's driving our long-term debt. It's mandatory spending. And the cost of having to mobilize for war, just like the cost of having to mobilize in the wake of an unexpected pandemic, are always more than the cost of investing on the front end to keep the peace.
What is the timeline for constructing these frigates and rolling, or I guess floating them out?
Well, we're going to be, I mean, in many ways, beginning work immediately. They're going to have to start hiring more engineers. I believe the first ship is scheduled to be delivered in the mid-2020s, but work is really going to be delivered immediately. And then whether we ramp up based on initial success will depend on how they award, you know, future ships within this class. And so, you know, we're going to be having to do everything possible to recruit not only engineers, but, you know, welders, workers. I mean, these are really good paying jobs. They represent, you know, almost the best of Wisconsin manufacturing. And so it's really an exciting time, not only to be in the shipyard, but just to be in Northeast Wisconsin.
We're talking to Wisconsin Congressional Representative Mike Gallagher, Republican in the 8th District, talking so far about this frigate contract going to a company in Marinette. Representative Gallagher wanted to talk to you about some COVID-related news. You recently worked on securing a donation of surgical masks that are coming here to Wisconsin. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, I'd seen about 3 weeks ago that Taiwan had donated masks to our neighboring state, Illinois. And I thought, you know, maybe it's just the Packers fan in me. I get a little competitive whenever I see something from Illinois. But I called my friends in Taiwan up and I said, if you're considering future donations, please consider Wisconsin. And they said, well, Wisconsin wasn't initially on our list because, you know, we're not as populous of a state, but we'd be glad to consider it. And then the next day I got a call saying, how many do you need and where should we deliver them? And I think it's just a testament to the importance of having strong allies like Taiwan. And the fact is that Taiwan's success, not only in combating coronavirus, but broader economic and political success stands in stark contrast to the failure of the Chinese Communist Party. Its very existence repudiates the existence of the Chinese Communist Party. And so I think we need to be finding ways to stand even stronger with Taiwan, because Taiwan has come to the aid of Wisconsin at a very difficult time.
We've seen a few rounds of economic recovery efforts from Congress and the president over the last couple of months. One of the big conversations right now is, do we need part four? What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I certainly think we're going to be needing to replenish the Paycheck Protection Program and the small business loans that we're giving out, as well as fix some administrative errors in that program. Where I get worried is when I hear reports of Nancy Pelosi potentially including bailouts for states, unlike Wisconsin, that haven't been as responsible. We have perhaps the healthiest pension plan in the United States overall. And if we're going to be paying money to bail out states that haven't been as responsible as us, I think that's really unfair. And so I really hope it doesn't go in that direction and we can stay focused on providing support to the small businesses and people on the front lines that need it. But in order to do that, in order to have a productive debate, Congress needs to be in session. And the fact is that we just got an email earlier today saying we're unlikely to be in session again this week till at least Friday. I think that's unconscionable. I think Congress needs to reconvene. It's long past time. We should have done it weeks ago. And so I really urge the speaker to get Congress back to work and we can lead by example, because we're going to have to be asking a lot of Wisconsinites and people around the country to start responsibly getting back to work soon.
Now, we've seen with the Senate coming back into session, a bunch of health safety precautions going on. There's a lot more of you in the House than in the Senate. Do you see some things that you could do on the floor to keep everybody safe there?
Well, in the last vote we had a couple weeks ago, we did take enhanced safety measures. They had a scheduled time for different groups of members to vote, so we weren't all congregating on the House floor. There was a supply of hand sanitizer and masks on the House floor. I think that's a very common sense measure. And I do think within the committee rooms, obviously, we're not going to be opening up the Capitol to visitors, so we'll have more space to conduct committee work. And then, you know, we as individual offices, I think, can continue to allow our staffs to telework, to work from home. My staff, both in D.C. and here in Wisconsin, has been working the whole time. and doing, you know, creative ways to do constituent services, but doing it from home. And so we can do things like that to mitigate the risk. And if the Senate's doing it, I think we can do it in the House.
I was hoping to get your thoughts on the pace of reopening, another big debate now. We have a lot of states trying to follow federal benchmarks a step at a time to reopen things, but then some criticism at the local level, sometimes at the federal level, for the pace of reopening. What are your thoughts?
Well, I think it has to transition to a bottom-up process. Really, I mean, different regions of the state are going to have different needs. There are very rural areas where they can start to open up immediately and almost go back to normal. There are more populous areas, Madison and Milwaukee, and even Green Bay, where we'll probably have to move slower than, say, a Brilliant or a Manawa or a Sturgeon Bay. I think it's that bottom-up approach with a healthy dose of humility that will allow us to open up and understand that as we open up, there will be spread. I mean, the spread is inevitable. It's just a question of how do we slow the spread without overwhelming the healthcare system. But I think in even the most aggressive timeline for reopening, we have to think very hard about how can we protect the most vulnerable population, particularly those who we know are in nursing homes. We know that is a particularly at-risk environment with a particularly at-risk population. And so even in the most aggressive timeline, we should still be finding ways to responsibly protect those in nursing homes.
Representative Gallagher, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
Representative Mike Gallagher is a Republican representing Wisconsin's 8th Congressional District, which includes Green Bay and Marinette. He joins us today for a look at a new U.S. Navy contract for a shipbuilding company based in Marinette. Also, a donation of masks from Taiwan to Wisconsin and other issues in COVID-19 response.